We'll call the meeting to order, and today we have up criminal code revision effort. We're going to do perjury and bribery today. And before that, there got a bunch of mail we've been receiving from a bunch of ladies that are all over the state about sexual offenses, that one we did last Friday, and they're, most of them are concerned about the spousal immunity section. So we've got a whole fistful of letters, and some of them signed by 10 or 20 different women. So, want everybody to be aware of that. And I think that, and also there's this copy that we, of a thing, it says transcript of Oregon criminal code discussion. And this is something the commission, some questions that, they were kind of common questions that have been asked by various people involved in the effort on the commission and other people that were concerned about the commission effort. So we gave these questions to some judges that practice criminal law in Oregon. And they were kind enough to send us up their comments, and the court system transcribed this for us. And so that's for your information. You might want to look at it. There's some questions in there concerning, you know, how did it work once you had it revised? What problems did you run into? Things like that. Also, next thing was, we'd gotten a letter from Judge Moody and Judge Peterson sent to me. And so I asked them if they would come down here to the committee as people who've been involved in this lot, as commission members, and give the committee kind of the benefit of their thinking about the effort and problems they saw, and problems that they brought up in their letter. And they were both kind enough to come down here. So, Judge Moody, do you want to sit up the end of the table? What, do we lose Laurel? He's around here too.
Who are the other members of the committee?
Dan Hickey was one. There's in your first draft, there's a list of all the members of the commission.
No, I'm talking about our committee.
Where are they?
Where are they?
I heard Miles saying they're going
to
be here.
I'd kind of like for them to hear the decisions. You know, anybody that has any questions.
I would too.
It's a nice balance in the things.
That's why I asked them to come down here.
Could you call around and try to trace some of our
missing members?
Yeah. Well, I don't know where Lisa is. Miles is off at something else.
Hello.
On oil or FEA hearings. Let's see.
A lot of these letters, I see, are awarded at the NFL.
Yeah, I think there's a group of women that work in the state somewhere on spousal immunity. Oh, this is Russ.
There's one more.
Oh, there's one.
You didn't have to see Representative Specking, huh?
No, I didn't.
What?
When the wires are coming from the
husbands. I'm not sure. It's a touchy subject. Judge Moody, I don't know what you want to start, but I think you understood my general concern. I wanted to give you an opportunity, because we had to have some of the other commission members here, Mr. Hickey, stuff, and you did raise some questions in your letter, so I thought it would be helpful to the committee to hear from you and Judge Peterson. We do that enough around here ourselves.
Thanks for doing that. I have a more sharp time. Maybe you haven't gotten it. I'd like to put it in the record. Share on. One is from Tom Mayer, who's in private practice. You got the one from Judge Calmer.
Yeah, I just got that.
Did you get one from Judge Mason?
Yeah, I just, I don't know if I've
yes, Colonel, this is Sean Vance.
I just got that today.
Judge Mason,
yeah, and Barry gave me a copy of that.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You might tell him as he breaks through there that there's some testimony going on at some other committee members.
I guess you only did get one. Well, Mary,
I haven't seen that one at all.
This gave it to me Friday.
Okay, this was sent to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got one from Lockett then?
That's the one I got. Barry just gave me a copy. The only one I've gotten myself is from Cal Marides. That was actually sent directly to me.
Yes, please. We have some gentlemen here from Judge.
Yeah, we.
Regarding to.
We give whatever I actually receive myself. I've been giving a copy of to the committee.
Good.
Yeah. No. Those copies from you? My secretary just gave them to me from Occupenny and Mason. Okay.
Mason, right.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'll make sure committee members all have copies of those. Go ahead, Judge Moody. We're making some copies of them right now.
Chairman, I guess there's not much use in my going over the letter that I wrote to you because the copy is covered now. If someone has some questions about that, I'm the secretary, I guess I'll be glad to go into it. Otherwise, any committee members have any particular area they'd like to go into and do our letter, I'm glad to accept that because sometimes more useful to answer questions anyone has rather than doing something that's
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr. Brown. Mr.
Chairman, I have several questions that arose as a result of the letter that was sent. For instance, their comment number 3, which begins on page 1, saying that what we have before us is a maze of different types and degrees of crime that will create a colossal bureaucracy in the criminal justice system. I don't understand how that can occur, how you, by changing the definitions and what the elements of the crime are, that would result in any kind of an increase of administration of the criminal justice system. Also, it's my understanding that the types and degrees of crime set forth in the Commission's proposed revision is very much like those that have proceeded from the model codes and the other examples that have been used in the last 20 years to revise the laws of the states of Illinois and New York and several other places, and there's been quite a lot of success met with those revisions in those states. And I'm just wondering what comments the judges might have on those two remarks before I go into some other questions I have regarding the letter.
Well, my first remark is for those states adopted the model code. In regard to the other states who adopted it, I would hope they would have some problem in the code that they had before they adopted another, and that's the problem I had in the last one. Nobody showed me any problem areas, which required the adoption of another code. My philosophy, and maybe this is where we differ, because I don't have to differ with the draftsmanship of the code, only the philosophy. My philosophy is you shouldn't pass a law unless you're attempting to cure something. Now, if somebody can show me where there's something wrong with our present criminal law, in the state or otherwise, then I'm for it. Otherwise, it appears to me that we have a statehood of 17 or 18 years decision of law in regard to our present code. If we have some problems in there, we should change. I'd be prepared to concede. If we don't, then we're going in to find different crimes and different circumstances. It's going to take another 20 years to get decision of law and find out what we meant when we drafted this code. The problem is, I have, for the past 2 years, been handling all criminal motions, pre-trial motions. And these motions are filed in a number of respects in regard to search and seizure. Many of them are filed in regard to the grand jury, so whether sufficient testimony before the grand jury. constitute the crime which they're charged. Now, if you take and you break a crime down, if you have a crime, for instance, if you have a crime of assault, either assault of with a dangerous weapon or a simple assault, if you break that down, you have a definition of that which over a period of years the courts have interpreted, and you can determine if you have a pretty good idea of what it takes to constitute a crime. If you break it down to four or five different crimes, then you have first, you have the police who has to make a choice when he arrests someone as to which one of those four or five he comes in with. And if he makes a wrong charge, the DA is then going to have to change that and charge him with someone else. Then the judge, the grand jury, has to determine whether he's got the right one. Then the judge has to hear arguments from all the attorneys to whether or not that's the right crime which he has been charged. The jury then goes to the jury. The judge has to give instructions of all the greatest crime which is charged and all the lesser included offenses. The jury then has to make a decision as to which one of those definitions it will fall into. Then the appeals process starts, and you start arguing before the Supreme Court. And if you have to signal law, and the law that has been on the books for years, the chance of your getting a verdict is much less, and you start new crimes, and you've got new definitions on. That's what I'm talking about. It takes more judges to do it, it takes more Supreme Court justices to handle these. Take four police determining what type of crimes that they're going to charge people with, make a wrong decision, and it just creates a bureaucracy.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Brown?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that kind of an argument could be made at any time in history when any criminal code revision is proposed. Now, that argument could be made in support, I suppose, of someone coming in saying they need more judges or more police because we've already, in the last couple of years, completely rewritten the assault statute. We worked rather hard on the thing, and that's all been rewritten. That is new law. We've rewritten much of the law relating to illicit drugs and an awful lot of other things. I don't think that's an argument for or against a criminal code. Again, it hasn't been pointed out to me where there is some colossal bureaucracy that would result from redefining the elements of crimes. It may be that all of the lawyers and the judges are going to have to learn a new body of law, but that this is something that comes with the territory anyway, since we constantly have to keep track of recent decisions in various areas of laws by the Supreme Court of Alaska and the United States Supreme Court. And also, although Judge Moody commented that the Model Penal Code has not been adopted in any state, the state of New York has a very comprehensive revision that passed in 1967 that they have 10 years' experience on, many of the sections of which were borrowed for this code here, and that it gives us 10 years of case law to go on. And I don't know if the experience in New York or Illinois or many of the other states that have had revisions, modern revisions, have resulted in any kind of a massive bureaucracy or any confusion. I think that our current law results in a great amount of confusion when we have so many different levels of culpability indicated in the various crimes that have been created over the last 170 or some years. Now, another comment that was made on page 2 of the letter said that we're having piecemeal legislation passing now with regard to the assault statute. Well, I'm sure the members of this committee who are on the 9th legislature know that resulted in part because some members, mostly in the other body, didn't want to push a criminal code revision fast enough. And there was a major omission in our current criminal law because it's so ancient. There was no statute addressing aggravated assault, the professional beating, that kind of thing. Also, our criminal code happens to, as I'll blow my own horn for a minute, if you've read my paper, you know that it goes back before any of the decent scholarship done in the 19th or the 20th century with regard to the revision of criminal laws, the New York Law Revision Commission of 1828. As a result, there's absolutely nothing with regard to what is called inchoate crimes, that is, any decent definitions of solicitations, conspiracies, or attempts, which are very important in the enforcement of modern criminal jurisprudence. In addition to that, Mr. Chairman, it comments that somehow the pending sentencing legislation is piecemeal legislation that by itself either should not be addressed or should be addressed in a different way if we're going to undertake a comprehensive revision of the code. But in fact, I believe that the commission has steered clear of the sentencing area, knowing that the legislature and the administration and the judicial council was working on a bill on sentencing. I have lots more questions, but I'll let the gentleman proceed.
You could ask a question, not answer, but I haven't heard any questions yet.
Maybe we ought to set a constraint here. Our letter and our objection, the reason we wrote this was the tenor of the commission and the work product that it's producing. Not as to the substance of the work product, but how it's going about revising the criminal code. Judge Moody and myself have been very active from the beginning of our involvement in saying that we should revise our existing code, plug the loopholes, the areas that we have problems in, and then possibly after we have cleaned up our current statutes, go on to such a work product that we have now presented to this committee and ultimately will be presented to the entire legislature. The work product that we have here that takes the form of the true draft that we currently have is a good work product. There's no question about that. Everybody can find problem areas that you would argue with and take issue with. But we're not saying, and we don't need to give the impression that the hard labors and the long hours that have been put into it has been for naught. It is a good work product. However, the problem is that we are currently suffering under bad law, that was bad law 2 years ago when the commission first began. And these areas haven't been corrected. We haven't addressed ourselves to the immediate problems that we needed. We should have addressed ourselves to. We have constantly and consistently stated that to the subcommission, and the reason we wrote that letter was to express our views that we thought that it should be heard. The legislators and yourselves as members of this commission should know that there is some concern by the membership on the commission. Now, I don't want to take issue with the idea of why all the other states revised their codes. I'm sure they had good reason for it. We may very well have a good reason for revising our code, if nothing else, because everybody else has done it. But first of all, we should address the problems that we have today. There's going to be certain problems with a complete total revision. Our code hasn't been shown to be that bad right now. The current law that we have today is not that bad at all. As a matter of fact, it's simple. It's easy to administrate. The criminals are not getting off. They're not walking the streets. The juries aren't confused. The judges aren't losing time by implementing the current statutory structures. And when you implement a complete total revision under the format that's being proposed, should be aware of the fact that there's going to be problems. And I think it would be remiss if we didn't bring out at least our concern.
Mr. Brown, may I take a couple other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to follow up just that. My comments and the nature of my questions may have been addressed to a misinterpretation of the letter based upon what Judge Peterson just said. I haven't discussed this with these gentlemen. I've seen them at one or two commission meetings I was able to walk into, but at least what I got from the three pages of this document was a direct lambast at the entire idea of the revision as well as anything involved in the work product. You're saying now that your viewpoint is something different than that. This reads to me like just overwhelming opposition of anything involved in the criminal code revision.
I'm sorry, Mr. Turk, we interpreted our own way, and we thought that we could never result of the work product is going to increase the load in the judiciary, is going to cause more people to be in the administrative office, going to cause more people to be in the public defender's office. Now, our concept is we don't pass laws unless we have some reason. Now, if somebody can show me where we have problems in our present law, and I've been in that for 31 years, I was just the dean of territorial league, I've been attorney general, and I've been on the bench for 16 years, and I haven't seen any problems. Somebody can show me something I'm for revision. First
questions from the other committee members? Mr. Blass?
More of a general question. Judge Peterson, I personally disagree with your statement when you say that the juries aren't confused and that the laws are working and that the criminals are not out walking the street. Maybe I'm wrong, I'm a layman, I don't understand the system, but then I think these are problems. As a layman, not well versed in law, I don't know, I just don't know how to solve them. Now, perhaps, maybe Judge Moody,
that's a good point.
But if I could just finish, I mean, I served on a jury and I was confused. I didn't know when the hell I was supposed to show up, as a matter of fact. Well, I'm commenting on your comments, and if we don't go through as a layman, I see that there are terrible problems, and if we don't go through some sort of major revision, I don't know what else to do. The piecemeal approach to any problem that doesn't usually turn out to be a satisfactory solution.
Who has ever told you that the way to solve that problem is through a total revision?
Well, is there another way? Can you show me another way?
Well, if you have to identify the problem that the jury is having, I don't know if it's with substantive law. Juries have problems with confusion, and they're uploaded up to the court system on a daily basis because of the administration of the jury system and how they're handled. But I would like to know the examples of substantive law that gave the problem to the jury after instructions have been given. If the jury was confused with substantive law today, and if the judge's instructions were unclear, then you better hold on to your cap with the instructions that are going to come out of as a result of this court, because there will be multitudes of lesser included offenses. Now, that's not necessarily bad. I mean, I can't say that is really a definite. It's just going to be there. The jury, hopefully the instructions will be phrased in such a manner that they'll be easily followed, hopefully be communicated to them. But unless your discouragement and frustration was as a result of substantive law, which I doubt,
Well, I wouldn't even hope to get into a discussion with you, Judge Peterson, about jury instructions. We've all of a sudden gone from a philosophical question to a very narrow channel. I see that there are major problems existing, and I just don't know what the solution is.
Just
wait.
But I think even the majority of this committee, and I've brought this up many times in these committees, if we think any change of this code, whether we decrease the number of crimes or increase the number of crimes, and then we think it's going to get more people convicted. We think it's going to change the crime rate in Alaska or any other place. We're doing the wrong thing, because passing laws don't get people convicted. Catching people and trying to get people convicted. And this, I don't think we have any dispute. Having a bigger code and more crime defined and break them down into different degrees is going to take one more people. It's going to probably keep more people from getting convicted because they're going to get their convictions reversed. Because of some error, more chances of error we have in defining and tying the person into the crime that's defined in these different degrees and instructions that we give to the jury. I don't think anybody would contend that having more laws, you're going to get more trouble.
I don't think it's going to answer your question. I don't think it's going to solve all the confusion that a juror has. And I don't think the answer to solve whatever confusion the juror or the layperson has with the criminal justice system is not through substantive law. It really isn't. It's not enough to really solve that confusion. The only people that are going to read the substantive law, who are directly involved with the passage of the Act, the attorneys who are going to defend the individual charge, and the prosecution who is interested in the prosecution of the criminal offense, and the judges who have to act in them.
The police are occasionally too.
The criminal is not going to be reading the law when it goes out for the crime. And it's not going to clarify anything.
I can appreciate what you're saying, and I certainly don't think that more laws are going to, if the goal is to put more people in jail, quote unquote, more laws aren't going to do that. But on one hand, Judge Moody, you say that it's more laws don't put more people in jail. We have to have better detection and crime prevention. Well, then the police come in before us and they say, oh, you got to get those guys on the bench to toughen up. It's just. Mr. Dankworth,
I thought maybe I might comment. I think what could clear up Representative Miles' confusion about the juries. It's been my observation that there wasn't any lack of clarity in the law that caused the confusion. It's some of those rules of criminal procedure that always confuse them as to what can be admitted to evidence and what can't, and some of the procedures that are written, which I think, you know, sometimes are out. I never did see that much actual confusion on the statute, except there may be some instances where that is. But I know a lot of the things you're talking about, Bill, are things that jurors can't understand. They never, I guess, it's just the rules of criminal procedure seem to, in my judgment, eliminate enough admission of things that it is difficult to make a decision on some of these.
Chairman, that's correct. I mean, you know, being a juror in a courtroom is not like a judge going to a convention of accountants and them try telling you how you balance a bunch of books. I mean, I'm just as out of place as you are when you come into a courtroom. There's no question. I've heard jurors and had jurors come to me and say, Judge, why can't I ask the question? Why wouldn't you let them ask? Why wouldn't you let people ask that we were interested in? Well, that's fine, but we have certain rules that through years that we have adopted. We say that this is the way you give a fair trial. And I have misgivings, too, about some of the rules, but I've been overruled by the Supreme Court and the legislature and other people, and I have to live by the rules. But I can certainly understand how you're confused, and just as though I am, and many people are, they come down and see the legislative process, they're just as confused as you are when you get in the It's on criticism, but that's just the way it is. We have to find
it. I'm equally confused about the legislative process.
I still have more.
Yeah, Mr. Dankworth.
I just had one more comment to make, and I don't want to ask a question particularly, but now I forgot what it was. I had a statement I wanted to make there in relation to this criminal code, and I'll pass now, and I'll take it up.
Okay, Mrs. Beck.
I wonder if you put me out of this. I wonder if you think, putting aside the question of the presumptive sentencing proposal and any sentencing, there is no sentencing in what we've written in the sentences delineated. Do you think that the proposed code would make it easier or harder for the judge to
facts the same.
What is it?
The facts would always be the same. Whether or not the law categorizes it to an area in a different structural system, if it's assault with a deadly weapon, it's a current charge. Assault with a deadly weapon is assault, or two or three is still assault with a deadly weapon. The facts
four different structures because they always find the less included account. Now, if they, and of course, you've got four groups and you've broken your kind, your kind is down in four different sentences. So you have an error, but you're based on this suggestion of sentence. But only because the legislature elected. So you have four different groups rather than one. The situation we have now is we have one to 10 years, like it is. The judge then considers it to be, I have an objective legislature, as far as I'm concerned. I have no more expertise in sentencing than you do, anyone else here. It's just been tradition with the judge who sentences. As far as I'm concerned, if you don't take sentencing entirely away from the judge, that's fine with me.
That's right. I haven't thought of that.
McGuffin
did.
Well, the
but you don't see anything in the intrinsic structure of the new code as opposed to the old code that would make it easier, harder, or anything to use sentence.
No.
It will make it a little more intellectually consistent because right now there are some inconsistencies in sentencing in the sentences that can be imposed, which have been brought out in the comments and the revision. But that inconsistency could have been cured in about 1 month of work 2 years ago. We're now still 2 years later. This is our problem we have with the way things are going. 2 years later, that inconsistency still exists. It looks like it'd be another year until anything happens. And that inconsistency is not necessarily bad. It has improved at this point. It's just one of the examples used to justify total revision, which one day probably could have set a different standard.
Mr.
Chair.
Mr.
Rudd,
go ahead.
You mentioned, I think, in your letter that you did intend to have specific suggestions for how to improve the code.
I would say, put this aside, let's go back to the original code and fill the loopholes that we have there that are obvious and recognizable. That's very broad, but that's obvious.
And that's the problem. Nobody's been able to show us any great problems. Well, certainly some of it should be built on if times have changed and we've got these types of times, fine. To redefine something that has been existed for hundreds of years and everybody knows what it is, just for the sake of change, appears to me to be a little out of order.
We, as an example, we asked, tell us when a criminal is locked because of the actual defect in the statute. How many times does this happen?
Okay.
Give us examples of that. There is an example of an instruction that was in error. The judge that made that instruction sent a letter here saying that it was definite error by all parties, not only the judge, but the defense and prosecution. And it should have been done, but that's being used as an example to make a total revision.
Fred, you have another question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I suppose I could probably talk to these people, these gentlemen, for months, and we disagree because I'm sure their feelings are very well founded in their view, and they don't think that a comprehensive revision is necessary. I have felt that one was necessary for several years before I ever thought I'd be running for the legislature in 1974, but. I think that these matters address the ease of the administration of justice, the ease with which a decision is made by a police officer, by a judge, and so forth. And I think that usually a judge, in drafting a jury instruction, looks to see the elements of the crime that are in the statute. If all of the elements of the crime are not in the statute, as has occurred, and the Supreme Court has had to reverse convictions and remand appropriately because the statute was of an older sort, not including, for instance, a mental state required, then that makes the administration of justice more difficult for a judge who has not tried that particular crime before and does not have his own view of what a proper jury instruction would be. That's one example. But just in partial reply to one thing, they said nobody's given us a reason. I think the commission has pointed out one thing, and I think there are many other things that can be pointed out that are not in the commission's report on page 7 of the first volume, where they say, in part, existing law uses at least 20 different mental states, some of which have been found for the appellate process to be identical in meaning to the crime. unnecessary length for knowingly, surreptitiously, maliciously, purposely, deliberately, willfully, wrongfully, maliciously, or wantonly, willfully, and deliberately. And the revised code simply assigns one of four clear